Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again, everyone. It is Joan Matthews coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, and it is August the 6th, 2020. And I greet you in the wonderful, merciful, and ever-loving name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Folks, this is a hard journey. This is a difficult journey that we are on, especially those of us that are in Christ, those of us who are diligently seeking the Lord, those of us who are running after Him, who are walking after Him, who are seeking and searching Him out. The journey is especially hard for us. Why? Because the enemy is after the bride. The enemy is after the church. If we read the book of Revelation, we see that Satan is after the dragon, that great dragon is after the remnant of the woman. The remnant of the woman. The woman symbolizes the church. It symbolizes the bride, or the bride of Christ, or the church, or the saints. And so in the book of Revelation, it says that the dragon is wroth with the woman, angry with the woman. He's angry with the remnant of the seed of the woman. And this anger goes way back in the Garden of Eden. The woman started with Eve. Remember, okay, first I'll get back to what I was going to say. But this war started in heaven, and then it came down here to earth, and then it continued. People are wondering why there is so much deaths and dying and sadness and anger and mental illness and sicknesses and diseases, and governments of the world are trying to suppress and oppress and legalize all sort of crazy laws, and they just, over the years, over a century, over a millennium, governments and kings have suppressed and oppressed and really treat their citizens really bad. And why? Because they want to be worshipped. They want to be looked upon as gods. And because of this, they are putting the fear into the people. And this is why it says in Isaiah chapter 14 that, you know, and in Ezekiel, where Lucifer has wasted the nations and the cities and the tongues and killed your people. So it goes back when Yeshua was fasting for 40 days, and Lucifer, Satan took Yeshua up on the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, look at all of this. All of this is mine. All of the kingdoms of the world is mine, and it has been given over into my hand. And he said, all of it and the glory of it are mine. The glory meaning the riches and all the high living that comes with these kingdoms. He said, it's been given over into my hand, and I gave it to whomever I will, if they bow down and worship me. So we see here that these kings that rule for hundreds of years, look at the king of England. Her dynasty has been going on forever. And we have seen with the pharaohs and Constantine and you know, and all these people back in the Roman Empire, and even today that we're living in, the Husseins over the Middle East, and the Shahs, and the Ming, and dynasties, and we've heard of all these, and they hand over their reign over to their children and their children's children. And these are the dragon people. These are the dragon, the children of the dragon. You know, and they're the children of the wicked one. And so we are here in this war, in this battle, the angels in the flesh versus angels, versus children of the fallen stars, or children of the fallen angels. So the war started in heaven. It came down here on earth. The Bible tells us that one third of the angels fell from heaven. Folks, heaven is a big place, and there are more than one levels of heaven. And we must not compare earth. We must not compare our little itty bitty earth to the heavens. And we know, yes, there are about 7 billion people that's alive here on planet Earth, not counting all the other people that gone on before us in the past 6,000 years. And so that's, well, a couple of billions of people, well. And so we have to think that if one third of the angels fell from heaven, it must have been billions, literally billions of angels that fell from heaven. And that's who we are. Not every single one of us. Some of these children are children of the wicked one. They're children of Lucifer and the other fallen angels. A lot of these people that rule and reign over the kingdoms of the world are children of the fallen stars or the fallen angels. If you read, I think, Daniel chapter 2, and if you read, Matthew chapter 25, the wheat and the tares, where Yeshua talk about the wheat and the tares. The wheat are the children of the kingdom of heaven, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. And, you know, the Bible, Jesus also mentioned Cain. He said Cain was of the wicked one. Cain was the seed or offspring of Lucifer. And during the days when Cain walked the earth and he murdered his brother, and he hid, and the Lord spoke to Cain and he said, sin ruleth at your door, but you must master it. Even though he was the offspring of Lucifer, he had the opportunity to be saved, but he chose to be a murderer and a liar and a wicked person. And so we have the seed of Cain, or the offspring of Cain, walking on the earth among us today. And many of them are who rule and reign, who are ruling and reigning in our midst today. And folks, many of you, many of us are angels in the flesh. This is not a study that I've done. This is not somebody's work that I'm reading. This is not a story I'm reading from the internet. These are revelations from the Most High God. From me, seeking the Lord for years and years and years, and asking the Father, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where are you? I need to know who I was before you placed me in my mother's womb. I knew all along that I was a spirit being, because according to the word of God, we are spirits. We are spirit being living in a temporary house, and that temporary house is our body. The Bible tells us that our body is a temple of the living God. We are going to put off this flesh, and we are going to be reinstated to our former estate, to our former self. When I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I asked the Lord, Lord, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, who am I? Where did I come from? Reveal to me, please show me who I was before you placed me in my mother's womb. And when, you know, it took years before the Lord, revealed to me that before he placed me in my mother's womb, he knew me and I knew him. And I stood before him. And he said he was going to send me on a journey in the flesh. And when I get there, I will not remember my former estate. But he has placed a light inside of me. And if I follow the light, I will find my way back to him. And we know that the light is Jesus. We know that the light is Yeshua. So, folks, I'm encouraging each and every one of you to seek the Lord. Seek him for revelation. Ask him about me. Ask him, Lord, did you reveal these things to this woman? Because, folks, there's a lot of false prophets and false teachers out there. And I know a lot of people would not, you know, I mean, they're not going to want to believe these things. These things are kind of like too hard for certain people to believe and to really swallow. And so I'm not asking you to blindly believe, but I'm asking you to seek God and ask for confirmation, because these things are true. And the revelation from the Most High God. So I just wanted to go back. I just wanted to go back and recap I will do this for every one of the program of the talk that I'm doing. I will repeat myself because I think it's important for me to do that. So When we came here, we came here because we sinned against the Most High God. We came here because we doubted him. This is what the Lord revealed to me, said, when the war broke out in heaven, there was much confusion and many of us doubted. And because of unbelief, you know, God had, he said, because of unbelief, you were separated from me and I from you. You could not stay in my holy presence because we doubted him. And then the scripture tells us here that if we abide not still in unbelief, we'll be grafted back in again. Okay, so the first Adam partook of the sins of the woman because he loved her. He suffered and died with her. The second Adam, Yeshua, took upon himself the sins of the woman because he loved her and died for her, restoring her back to life in himself. And remember, that woman was separated from the first Adam. When God put him into Adam into a deep sleep and took a rib from him and created the woman. And then the second Adam, and then the woman was restored back or grafted back into the second Adam, which is Yeshua, when he hung on the cross and God put him into that sleep, that sleep of death, and God, the soul, to pierce his side, and that's water and blood came out of his side, and that's where the Lord showed me the vision of Yeshua hanging on the cross. And when he showed me the vision of Yeshua hanging on the cross, the Lord said that piercing of the side symbolized the grafting back in of the woman into become one again with her husband to become one again in Yeshua, who is our the husbandman. And so, folks, we are spirit beings living in a flesh body. We will go back again to live in a flesh body, in a spiritual body. We're only living in this house, in this temple, in this body temporarily, or this house temporarily. Our body is the temple of the living God, where He comes in and dwells and lives within us. Okay. And the man said, Genesis 3:12, and the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So he partook of the sins of the woman. And folks, I'm telling you this right now. It wasn't a tree. It wasn't an apple tree. It wasn't a fruit tree where Eve went and said, oh, it's a tree to be desired and want to make one wise. Just imagine you're looking at a tree, whether it's a fruit tree, an apple tree, whatever, it doesn't matter how exotic this fruit may be. Who woman would stand in front of that tree and being tempted so much? Oh, it's such a tree to be desired. I so desire this tree. This tree is going to make me wise. Could you just imagine that? Folks, it's not a tree. Jesus Christ is the tree of life. In comparison, Lucifer is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He knows good because he spent years, maybe, in heaven is eternity. There's no time in heaven. But for me to put it in words the best way I can, he may have spent billions of years. I don't know how long he existed in heaven before he fell. But he spent some good time. Like I say, I'm saying time because that's the only way I know how to explain myself. He must have spent a lot of time in the presence of the Most High God. He was a cherub that covered the throne of God. He was the one that walked upon the stone of fire. He was beautiful, and he was the head of the choir of the angels of heaven. So he knows good. He knows to do good, and he knows the goodness of God, and he also is the inventor of everything evil. So Lucifer is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and Eve did not pick an apple and eat it. This is what the Lord said to me. One day I was coming home from work and I was reading the Word of God. I was reading Genesis. And I said, Lord, what really was the temptation of Adam and Eve, of Eve? What really was the temptation of Eve? What did Lucifer tempt Eve with? I wanted to know the truth because, you know, the Word of God said, you know, the Bible tells us, welcome 708, the Bible tells us, that we have not because we ask not. And he said, we ask at times, but we ask amiss. We ask not believing the things that are not that believing that God will answer us. And, you know, the Lord, I said, Lord, what was it that Lucifer tempted Eve with? And, you know, what was the temptation? Because I wanted to know the truth. And we know that the Bible is not the complete truth of everything that happened. Come on. The Bible tells us, I think in the last chapter of Matthew, that if the apostles Paul, no, Peter said, if we were to write everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did when he walked the earth, I suppose the world wouldn't be able to hold the books that would have been written during the time Yeshua walked the earth. Can you imagine going way back in the days of Adam and Eve? If everything were to be written, the Bible tells us, you know, that we are to add, you know, word upon word, here a little, there a little, you know, scripture upon scripture. So we are to build upon these scriptures that the apostles and the prophet wrote. And we are, you know, we are to, and people are like, oh, God don't do that no more. Really? We are stuck in the Stone Age? That God doesn't really reveal things to his people? Yes, he does. Once we seek him, and research him, and we diligently desire him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Trust me, he will deposit so much in your heart and so much in your mind to the point where I know one time the Lord was revealing so much to me. He would wake me up midnight, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, I would jump up. I would start writing with my pen on paper. I would go, I'd be writing all night, running into morning. Sometimes I'm lying on my bed and the Lord would just deposit stuff in my heart. And I'd jump up and I'd run outside and sit down. I don't want to wake my husband. My husband would be like, Joni, what are you doing? Why do you keep jumping up? What are you doing out there? Who are you talking to? And folks, sometimes it would be so overwhelming that I'd be like, Lord, can you just hold off for a little second? I have to process all of this. I have to put all this in paper. And sometimes the Lord reveals things to me that are so deep, that are so out of this world, where I know what it is in my heart. I know what it is in my mind. I can, you know, go over it in my heart, but I can't put it on paper because it is so unworldly. You know, it is a spiritual revelation. And I will ask the Lord, I say, please, Holy Spirit, please help me to put it in writing because I'm unable to put this on paper. And the Lord will actually, I would not write it down until the Lord actually helped me to kind of word it out on paper. So this is the work of God. It's not my work. It's not nothing that I had come up with or researched and put together and say, okay, this must be what happened. No, these are revelations from the Lord. I fear God too much. I do not want to go to hell. I fear hell. So I will not make up these stories. I will not say God revealed things to me when he didn't. But anyway, let me get back. So yes, it's not, Lucifer is not a tree. I mean, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, where Eve supposedly picked this fruit from and gave to her husband to eat. It wasn't, I'm sorry, the Lord revealed this to me like 10 years ago, and I know I've spoken on it, and a lot of people that I tell this, they're like, oh, people are not ready for this kind of thing. Maybe you shouldn't tell it to them. I said, nobody will be ready for this kind of thing ever if you give you people a chance. So I'm just really straining to talk. So folks, I'm telling you this, and who have ears to hear, let them hear. Who have eyes to see, let them see. And when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, nobody's going to believe all these things that you're showing me, that you're telling me. And I said, Lord, who am I going to tell this to, these things to? And the Lord said to me, tell it to whomever would listen. He said, tell it to whomever would listen. So I'm telling it to whoever would listen. It could be one person. It could be two. It could be a million people. I don't know who's listening, but it's these are things that the Lord wants his children to know, that you are more than who you think you are. You are more than the flesh and blood. You are more than a parasitizen. You're not a citizen of this world if you're a child of God. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So anyway, let me not keep getting distracted with everything. There's so much. So Lucifer is not a tree. I mean, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is not a tree. It's Lucifer. He knows good and evil, just like Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is the tree of life. Jesus Christ is not a tree, but he's also called the tree of life. Lucifer is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And just like how we have the fruit of the Spirit, go in the book of Romans. Is it in the book of Romans? Or Ephesians. We have to go look it up. We have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, and all that good stuff. And then some of the fruit of the Spirit. And then we have the fruit of the flesh. Murder, lies, theft, adultery, fornication. These are just but some of the fruit of the flesh. These are some of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So when Adam said, okay, let me just go back up here. I hope I could finish this one little piece off before it's ended. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. Now, the serpent, folks, was an upright animal that walked in the Garden of Eden. And after Satan, that was the first possession. Satan, the spirit of Lucifer, possessed the serpent to go and encourage Eve. So Lucifer was literally speaking to the serpent, just like when Jesus Christ was saying he was going to the cross, and Peter said, "Lord, don't talk like that. You should never talk like that. Far be it for you to die that way." And Jesus Christ looked right at dead smack at Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, you have no, you sever not the things of God." He wasn't calling Peter Satan, but Lucifer, the spirit of Lucifer, was literally speaking to Peter. So literally the spirit of Lucifer is speaking to the serpent, and he was encouraging Eve to sin against God. "And the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." The Lord confronted the woman now. "Unto the woman, the Lord God said," he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception." Now, why would eating an apple, if this was really an apple that Eve ate, or a fruit that Eve ate, why would after her eating this fruit, all of a sudden God is talking to Eve about multiplying her conception, and in sorrow you shall bring forth children and all that? What does eating a fruit have to do with having babies? He said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." And so, folks, sinners began entering into the world, born in sin and shaping iniquity. "In sorrow you shall bring forth children." This was set up. Eve did Adam and Eve were the two angels, the two people. Well, mostly Adam was an angel that came down from heaven, and the spirit of an angel was also inside of Eve. And they were the ones who brought forth all the fallen angels. All the fallen angels, the one-third of the angels of heaven that fell from heaven, not the whole one-third, but those of us who agree with the Lord to put on flesh. And then he himself would put on flesh and come to save us. So Adam and Eve are the father of all the fallen angels. You know, they fathered, brought forth the fallen angels into this world to be redeemed and to be saved by the second Adam. "And unto Adam," he said, "because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife and hast eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it." Now, Adam did not hearken to the voice of Lucifer. He hearkened to the voice of the woman and not Satan. So in other words, Adam loved his wife so much that he didn't want her to die by herself. He didn't want her to die alone. And he ate of the tree. He didn't eat no apple. He didn't eat of the tree. But he agreed to do the most, selfish act. But he encouraged Eve to actually have sex with Lucifer, to bring forth children. He actually gave Eve the green light, the go ahead. So Eve offered this fruit, this lie of Satan, this fruit of the spirit, this adulterous lie to Adam, and say, if I do this with him, when children by him, and Adam agreed. And when I asked the Lord what was the sin of Adam and Eve, this is what the Lord said to me. The sin was Lucifer tempted Eve to, because God said you will multiply and replenish the earth, and they wasn't having any children, and Lucifer wanted to hasten that. And Lucifer said, "Okay, I'm going to have children with Eve." So, and that's why the Lord said to Eve that your seed shall bruise the seed of the serpent. So there is a serpent seed here on earth. And the Lord said to me, the same thing happened with Abraham and Sarah. Did not Abraham agree with Sarah's wishes? Because God told Abraham he will have children as the sand of the sea. Wasn't having any. And Sarah said, "We're getting old, so you know we are gonna, you know, can you take my maid Hagar and have children by her, and through her we're gonna have children?" And Abraham agreed. Abraham had sex with Hagar, and that's the Ishmaelites, and that's why we have all these crazy things going on in the Middle East. And God said, "No, this is not the child of promise." So, and the Lord said to me, had Abraham come to me and remind me, not that I needed reminding, I would have granted. Had Adam and Eve come to me and reminded, I would have granted. I did this to test them. And God waited and waited to test Adam and Eve and to test Abraham and Sarah, and they failed the test. Lucifer was also tempting them, and God was allowing the temptation to see how well they do, and they failed. They say that they've gone to hell. No, God still loves Abraham. God still loves Sarah. God still loves Adam and Eve. And they're going to be saved in the end. But, folks, this is the end of the show. I will continue. I will pick up from here, from where I left off, and continue on the comparison to the first Adam and the second Adam and what happened in the Garden of Eden. And this is a revelation from the Lord. I can't stress this enough. I did not read it somewhere. It did not come by me studying. It was a direct revelation from the Lord. So, yes, Adam, Eve had sex with Lucifer, and there came about Cain. He was of the wicked one. And Adam ate of the fruit of fornication by giving Eve the okay to go ahead and do this deed, this sexual act. And just as Abraham agreed with Sarah that he will go and sleep with Hagar and have this child, and it was a disaster. So I love you guys in Christ, and this brings me to the end of my time, half hour, and it takes a lot out of me to even talk. But God is good, and He's allowed me to be able to speak and to bring these truths to you guys in these end times. These are the truths that are being revealed in the last days, and like I said, not many people are going to agree, but that's okay. Many people did not agree with Yeshua, with the Lord God, Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth. Some of them walk away when he was saying, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." They're running around saying, "Eat your flesh and drink your blood? What are you talking about? How can we eat this man's flesh and drink his blood? This is crazy talk." And many of them, the Bible say, walked away. And they're like, this speech is too hard for me. Jesus Christ looked at Peter and them, and he said, "Are you guys going to leave me too?" And Peter said, "No, Lord, who can we go to? You have the word of life." So these people, instead of asking Yeshua, "What do you mean by eating your flesh and drinking your blood? What the heck, you know, you talking about? What do you mean, Lord?" And they didn't ask. The Bible said, "We have not because we ask not." And he says, "Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and the door will be open." And they didn't ask him, "What do you mean?" They just walked away instead of asking. And so today the same thing is happening. We see certain things and certain metaphors in the Bible, you know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And people think, "Oh, he picked the apple." Everywhere you see this tree and Eve holding, you know, a red apple in her hand, giving it to her husband. Jesus Christ said, you know, "The words that I'm speaking," when he was talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, he said, "The words that I'm speaking, they are not flesh and they are not blood, but they are spirit and they are truth." And we know that the flesh, when he was saying, "Eat my flesh," he was talking about the word of God, because he is the word of God. And when he was saying, "Eat my flesh," he was saying, "Believe in me. Believe in my word. Believe in what I'm saying. To eat is to believe. And drink my blood is to receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit symbolizes water. It symbolizes blood. It symbolizes oil. Like, a lot of words in the Bible are symbolic. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is not a tree. It's Lucifer. The fruit that Eve eat is not a fruit. It's the works of the devil, that she believed a lie and she did have fornication or not fornication, adultery. She did have sex with Lucifer, and by Lucifer and Adam agreed to it. He ate. When the Bible said that she gave up her husband, she gave up her husband, meaning that she put the word out that she told her husband, and he agreed, meaning he believed, and he agreed for her to do the deed, and that's what happened. Adam eat off the fruit of the woman from, believe, and she had already fell, and Adam wanted to die with her, and so he loved her so much. And anyways, I could go on and on, but let me stop here because I'm not even sure if this end of is recording. But thank you, 708, for logging in, and everyone else. If you have questions, please, send your questions to me. You can also email me at joan@aol.com. You can also contact me right here on Block Talk Radio by sending me a message. And all of these are written down. I have articles. If you want me to send you a copy, I'm more than welcome to do that, free, of course. Love you all in Jesus Christ, and have an excellent day.